Some of you have asked the source of, well, I guess that's not really true. Nobody really asked me, but in my mind, I imagined that you were asking me what the book was that I drew some information from, and also some of the things I'll be sharing today. This book is by John McLaughlin, and it's entitled Trusting God's Heart When You Can't Trace His Hand. The book is largely based on an Old Testament passage. I won't go into this book because that's not what I'm here for. What we have among us is a wounded warrior. There's a spiritual battle that's going on, and that spiritual battle is a very real one. We don't see the combatants. It's not like somebody wearing suicide vests, or it's not like the craziness we've been reading about where we can actually see it happening, but it's happening. I remember first becoming aware of it when I was reading Frank Perelli's books about This Present Darkness, I think was one of the titles. Hard read, really, to start with, but just to be caught up with the fact that there is an enemy to all that God wants to do, and that enemy is alive and active and trying to find any entrance, any way to stop the power of God, try to do anything to distract, to take the focus someplace else. And the interesting thing is, in the physical battles that we see going on within the country that Bud was praying about, we see the same kind of thing. And it's really distractions that come from both sides. So I don't mean to take a political side here, except to say that there's a battle going on, and it's very difficult to discern truth. So one side will say fake news, and I'm not saying that news may not be fake. There's a lot of fake news out there, but it's a way of saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. And meanwhile, the other side seems to hit away at this distraction, that distraction. And it's an interesting thing. We really haven't heard much about Russia in the last few days. And I don't, again, I'm not trying to draw any conclusions. I'm just saying, what's important is the health of the country. Really, what's important is that needs of the country be addressed. And the battle that's going on is really taking away from some of the power that needs to be directed towards healing the country. And the same thing, I think, happens in the spiritual realm, but we don't see it. So the enemy tries to take little things and get us so focused on them that they become big things. And when they become big things, they become humongous things. I don't know if that's a word or not, but big, really big. And if that can be the focus, if the focus isn't on what isn't right and not on what is right, then we get into a downward spiral. I really appreciated the song selection. And who actually selects the songs? Excellent, excellent song selection. As a matter of fact, that's what God put on my heart to share today. Last summer, I introduced you to a song, and we're going to end with it. I can't remember if we actually sang it. I think it was played, and then I suggested that you join the chorus of it. It's by Chris Tomlin. And you told me the title, Good, Good Father. The title's Good, Good Father. And the phrasing of that song, the chorus, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. And it's addressed to God. It's a prayer. God, you're a good, good father. I want you to know that God is a good, good father to you. And to you, Peter. And the second part of the phrase in the chorus is, and I'm loved by you. I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's what defines me. Now, last week, Peter, you talked about core values. And even though that may have been a real struggle to put together, I know that the Holy Spirit impacted a lot of people through what he said through you last week. But one of those core values for us, one of those things that we have to keep our focus on, is that even though we don't understand, God is good. And we say, how can he be good when we have all this trash, all this garbage, all this stuff, all this struggle? And the core value is, God, we don't understand it, but you're good. And our focus and our choice is to trust you. And the second core value is wrapped up in it, and that is that God loves you. God loves you. In 1 John, and I'm really going to just sort of go with the Spirit here instead of some of the prepared things that I have. And you probably have gone to 1 John in the 4th chapter often, and if you have your Bible, you may want to turn there in the Pew Bible. And I'm in the 4th chapter of 1 John, and beginning with verse 7, and the subtitle, or the title in there says, God's Love and Ours. And I'd just like to read some of it to you. I'll give you a second to get there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let's love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Everyone who is loved knows God, born of God. Whoever doesn't know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, let me explain. This is love. It's not that we somehow loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Nobody's ever seen God. But if we love each other, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Now this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them for and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears isn't made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever doesn't love their brother and sister whom they have seen can't love God who they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. These are words for the country, and they're words for us here today. God is love. God loves you. In the last century, there was a theologian, and maybe you heard of him. Have you heard of Karl Barth? Okay. Maybe not. I was studying, and I was with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I kept saying Karl Barth because it's B-A-R-T-H, but it's Karl Barth. He was a Swiss Reform theologian in the United States. He was featured in 1962 on the cover of Time magazine. He's considered to be the greatest theologian of the 20th century. And there were, at one point, a group of reporters around him, and I'm not sure about the date or the time, and it's a story I've heard told over and over again, and I present it to you this morning. The reporters were anxious to get a news break, something from him that would really impact their readers, and so one of the reporters said, "Sir, what's the greatest theological truth in all of your studies that you have that you've discovered?" Now, that's not a quote, but that's what they ask. And in a blink of an eye, without a thought, Karl Barth looked at him and he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Wow. I mean, they were expecting, out of all the complexities of the Bible, out of all of the profound things that are in Scripture, about all the theological truths, about all the books Karl Barth had written, for him to say that simple little thing just took them back, and they didn't know what to say. And finally, one of them recovered enough to follow it up. He says, "Well, sir, are you saying that the greatest, most profound truth that you've ever discovered is that Jesus loves you?" And Karl Barth said, No. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And that's the word from God to us. That's the word from God to you. Jesus loves you. This I know, and this you can know. And Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The Father and I, we're one. Throughout his teaching, throughout his life, throughout his ministry, those who were closest and those who stood watching begin to understand that this is the Son of God. This is God. God is love. And that's what I want you to leave with today. There are lots of examples of it through Scripture. There are lots of things that could be said. But I'm not sure that they could add anything to the power of that simple truth. Now, do you have any question in your mind at all that God loved his Son Jesus? You question that at all? God loved and loves his Son. But his Son went to the cross. And it was an act of love. And you know, Jesus went to the cross. Now, we can try to rethink the whole thing, what was going on in Jesus' mind when he was physically on earth, and what did he go through, and how did he handle it? Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. When he was in the garden praying and he started sweating big drops of blood, this was not an easy choice. In fact, the honesty of his prayer is something that humbles us. When he said to them, "You know, Father, I would, if at all possible, that we do this another way." I mean, the literal word is, "I would that this cup would pass from me, that I wouldn't have to drink what's coming. But I want your will to be done." And what he said is, "I trust you and your love." Peter was an impetuous leader. He did a lot of things that make you scratch your head. One of them we'll talk about next week. He just sort of acted and then he thought about it a while. But he went through a valley. And after Jesus' crucifixion, Peter, he was depressed. But you know, when Jesus appeared to them, you remember that he addressed Peter? Good name, Peter, don't you think? Peter. And he said, Peter, do you love me? What did he say, Peter? He said, I love you. Yes, I love you. And then he said, Peter, do you really love me? Peter said, well, yes, you Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Peter, a message from him to you is feed my sheep. That will be feeding them the way he wants them to be fed at this stage of where you are. I mean, you said there were a number of pastoral things that you knew that you were still strong and able to do. So, and in terms of loving and caring for people, you'll continue to feed his sheep. We all go through tough times. Many of you know at least some of our story, but just to give you, again, the highlights, the low heights. In the spiritual battle that I have been involved in my life, it includes a time when my children were under attack. There are some of the regular things that happen, but one of the difficult times that we had to walk through as a family and needed the support of our church family on was when our younger daughter let me just give you the bottom line. She was addicted to drugs. And we had to walk through a valley that was so low that I cannot begin to explain it to you. It was a struggle. Now, she made it through, but I still remember the pain. Another image comes to my mind. On the floor, and he's in a fetal position. And he's tormented. And I thought, well, maybe it's a spiritual attack. And I think that was involved, and we prayed. It was later diagnosed for him that he had something that was called, well, they called it post-traumatic stress, but the symptoms and what eventually they've come to understand it is a form of that bipolar issue. He needed to be hospitalized multiple times. That young man, while he still struggles with some issues, has found a balance in medication. And he is the closest to Jesus of any of my children. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Let me quote Jesus. I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter how deep the pit, you're not alone. And when you're on the heights, remember that we're together, and this is not about you. And when you're in the pit, remember that we're together, and this is not about you. This is a part of the battle. Jesus, according to John's understanding, said, I have not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I guess it was what John said in reflecting on Jesus. The things we go through are not a condemnation or a judgment from God. They're the reality of life. It's why we need a Savior. It's why we need the Lord. Hold on as a church. Hold on, Peter, as a family. And pray the prayer that Chris Tomlin sings about. Father, you're a good, good Father. And I'm loved by you. I don't feel it. I don't even sense it sometimes, but I know it. It's part of who you are. I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who we are.